This is Esther Abrami. Welcome to Women in Classical, the podcast where I meet with inspiring women from the classical music world and discuss their unique careers, the challenges that they face, and the insights that they'd wish to have known when entering the music business. Today, I speak with the one and only opera singer Nadine Sierra. We will be discussing how she became one of the most famous opera singers of her time and how to stand up for yourself as a female musician in the industry. Hello and welcome to a new episode of Women Classical. Today I have the one and only Nadine Sierra in front of me, virtually, who is all the way in the US, but I'm so glad that we could make it work. Thank you so much for taking some of your time to spend it with us.
Oh, the same for me. Feeling is very mutual. Thank you, Esther.
Thank you. It's so great to have you on. I feel like we have a lot. You know, I have a lot to ask you, but I'll start at the beginning, which is, how did you get into music? And at what point, what age did you realize that you wanted to make it your career?
So my grandmother, from my mother's side of the family, they're from Lisbon, Portugal. And my grandmother, my mother's mother, she had always wanted to be an opera singer. She grew up around music and loving classical music, but my great-grandfather, her father, did not want her to become not just an opera singer, but to have a career, period. You know, the woman's job or destiny was just to be a wife and to be a mother, and that was it. So that's the life that my grandmother led, and she had my mother. My mother is an only child. And she always knew this about her mother, that she loved to sing and that was very much part of their lives. So when I was born and showing kind of very early signs of loving music, kind of being obsessed over music, my mother thought, well, maybe she would like to take some voice lessons. I was around 6 years old. So I took the opportunity to do so. And my mother said, you know, the only way your father and I will pay for these lessons is if you practice every day for an hour every day, which I did. And then my mother introduced opera to me when I was 10 years old, because she could already kind of hear, you know, even though I was so young, she could hear that there was some operatic color in my voice. And of course, she had had that prior information about her mother. And you know, the idea that her mother wasn't allowed to pursue any of her passions, really, or, you know, any kind of career path. So she gave me the opportunity to do something different and to, yeah, sort of change this idea of what women or girls are allowed or not allowed to do. So it was really because of my mother and this past history from my grandmother.
It's, you know, my grandmother from my mother's side was a violinist and she quit violin when she got married. So yeah, it's a similar. Yeah. And so when you studied, did you study in Lisbon or in the US? Or?
So I was born in the US. I was born and raised in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And so all of my lessons were in Florida. And I was very fortunate to find great teachers because, you know, you wouldn't really associate, at least in the States, Florida being a state that, yeah, that has a lot of classical music teachers or influence. But I was very fortunate.
And what point, what age did you decide that you wanted to make it professionally as a
laughter? I always knew that I wanted to be a singer professionally. I think the question was, even though I was so young, the question was in what exactly? Was it pop? Was it musical theater? Was it sort of in gospel or church music? And the moment my mother introduced me to opera, even though, yeah, 10 years old, I was very young, I thought, this is it. Like, I have to become an opera singer. And from that day, Esther, I haven't stopped. You know, I haven't stopped, yeah, studying and learning everything I can about opera. Amazing.
I know there's going to be many, but if you could pick one or two highlights of your career so far, what would they be?
I would say,
I know it's hard. Everybody's always, everyone who I ask the question is always like, oh, this is a hard question.
Well, okay. One of them definitely, like the one that pops into my mind immediately is back in 2016 when I made my debut at La Scala. We were doing Rigoletto and I was singing Gilda and the man singing Rigoletto was Leonucci. And something happened that after the second act, the curtain came down, Leo and I, we came to the front and we gave a bow just before the intermission. And the audience was freaking out, screaming, you know, bees, bees, bees. And I wasn't really sure what was going on because first it was my debut. I had never been in the house and, you know, with all the excitement and the nerves going around you, I wasn't quite sure how to make sense of what was about to happen. So he turned to the intendant at that time, who was Alexander Pereira, and he was sitting in the box just, you know, to the right of us. And Leo kept, you know, sort of nodding at him, kind of in a questioning sort of way. And Pereira just thought about something and then said, like this, like, go for it. So I thought, what is happening? And Leo asked me, he said, do you want to sing this again? It was the very final part of the duetto. It's Si Vendetta. So I thought, okay, let's do an encore, you know? Again, not really realizing what was happening. Leo did something that really touched my heart, and I think it's on YouTube. He like knelt down to the audience. And you know, Leo has reached a certain age and status and reputation that to see that man like fall to his knees and gives, you know, himself, his soul to the audience, I started crying because I had never seen something like that before. And honestly, I've never seen like something like that ever since. So we started the duetto again, did the encore again. The audience seemed to be super happy. And when I got off the stage, I hadn't realized that Toscanini had made sort of a rule, a proclamation that no part from a Verdi opera could be encored at La Scala. It was like illegal, let's say. And we had done it. We had actually done it. And my vocal coach, he was there with me. He said, I don't know if you realize, but you guys like made a little bit of La Scala history with this piece. And I was like, wow, that's just amazing. You know, first it's a debut, then to sing it with Leo, which was such a privilege and an honor for me because I look up to him so much. And then, I don't know, that whole experience, it felt like we had been transported in time, in a different time of classical music in that moment. I would say it's probably the most memorable experience I have in my career.
Yeah. It sounds amazing. Did you say it's on YouTube?
That video? It is.
Okay, I'm going to go after this interview. I'm going and I'm watching this. It sounds absolutely awesome. Wow. And I think it's been obviously amazing to hear, you know, these special moments, these highlights. But what's important for me as well, and that's what I try to do with social media generally, is to also show the whole picture of what it's like to be a musician, but also to be a woman within the music industry. So I'd be really happy if you could share if you've had or faced any challenges and how have you overcome them?
Okay. I would say I'm still overcoming them. I have not overcome them yet, but okay. The number one thing is traveling by myself all the time. Not just because I'm a woman or, I mean, I suppose, you know, I have these questions like, is this the way my life, my personal life is always going to be? That I am a woman in this profession, traveling by myself, that I don't have a companion or a husband or even children. now I've reached, I just turned 34 this month, and I think about that more often than I thought about it in the past. And then thinking, well, what are those challenges going to be if I were to have a partner, or actually more importantly, have children, you know, bear another life? How would that affect my career or my singing or everything, I suppose? So that's definitely something that I'd say nowadays is in my head. I'd say probably daily, and overcoming that sometimes is challenging day by day, because of course, you know, singing, making music, I'm sure for you too, it feeds and gives you something so beautiful and so precious that not having it part of your life, you can't even imagine that. But at this, yeah. Exactly. But then there's the other part, which is, well, you're not just a musician, right? You're also a human being. And more than that, you're a female. And we have these hormones that go through our bodies as we age. And it's like, I don't know, it's like a biological calling, like you must bear children. So it happens. It does happen that, these thoughts can arise, and then, yeah, questioning, well, what will the future hold? So that is, I'd say that's the number one thing I'm trying to overcome these days.
And I wanted to kind of talk and ask you a little bit about something that I find is often quite a challenge as musicians, is dealing with judgment and you know, how to kind of, how to deal with it, and how personally do you deal with it, obviously, when firstly when you're a musician, and also when you're in the, you know, on the public scene, I guess, you get judged quite a lot. You get people giving their opinions about you a lot of the time, about your looks as well. How have you you know, kind of dealt with it so far?
I think I've dealt with it pretty well most of the time, because I try to ignore it. Especially when looking at social media comments, posts, I just don't go there, because, yeah, I realize that it could be a little bit destructive for myself and put thoughts into my head that are not my own. So I don't even want to approach that topic really inside of my head. But of course, I can't completely avoid it. And I'd say, I just remind myself of why I'm doing this. You know, am I doing this because I want to be famous or praised or make money or sort of satisfy this ego or arrogance inside of myself, or to please people only instead of pleasing myself as well? And I go back to when I was a child and I fell in love with opera, and the goal was so simple and so pure. It was, no, I just, there's something about this that speaks to my soul and makes me feel my most normal self, my most comfortable self. And all I want to do is to be able to express within that and give it and share it with as many people who love it and are willing to listen to it as much as I love it and kind of obsess over it. And if that brings joy to people's lives as much as it has brought me joy, I'm satisfied. And that reminder is very helpful, because it allows me to be kind to myself, Esther, you know? And I think we too, as women, you know, you talk about especially people judging your looks. Oh, have I had that? I think I've had that all my career, all my life. And I just remind myself of the deepest, most heartfelt feelings I have about being an artist. And the rest is just noise. It's, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, everything's really about perspective, right? So as long as your perspective is positive, I think you'll have a more positive outlook.
Yeah. And have you had, I'm sure you have, any kind of woman figures who have inspired you? And, you know, it can be people within your close circle, like family, or it could be other musicians, even musicians who are not with us anymore, but who you've been looking up to as role models.
Oh, absolutely. For sure, my grandmother. My grandmother was a big role model for me. And of course, this inspiration was born from her and her story. My mother. Yes. Oh, yes. My mother as well. You know, my mother giving me not just the courage to try out this this career and go into the art form, but also giving me the discipline and the ability to see myself with very honest eyes as well. Because my mother was never, we have this this term in the States, it's like a yes man, someone who's always praising you or always saying yes to you. No, my mother was the opposite. She still is. She's very honest, direct, kind of giving me tough love, you know, when I need it. And that's developed something in me that has helped me a lot in not just in my career, but I'd say really in my life. So she's a very big female role model for me. Then as an artist, there's one mezzo-soprano, American mezzo-soprano. Her name is Marilyn Horn. And she was very famous. She still is very famous. She's not singing anymore, but very famous artist, but beyond the fame, right? Beyond the stars. She's a grandmother. She's a mother. And she's such a precious person. She's everything I would like to be, actually, as a woman in this industry. You know, somebody who's strong enough to sort of carry the torch with her, but also humble enough to, you know, have a family, to take care of her family, to talk about her family, to be down on the ground with both feet planted. I really admire that kind of attitude in the entertainment world, and especially coming from somebody as well renowned as she is.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think I kind of feel the things you mentioned about your mother, because I think we've got a pretty similar mom on that front. My mother was always so strict, and you know, always kind of saying, you know, if I ask her opinion on something, and then she'd give it, and then she was like, well, you did ask me, I'm not going to lie to you. It's like, yeah, sorry. That's great. And
our mothers would be very good friends.
But I think it's been so important as well for me to have that discipline, as you said, because again, I think, you know, we often see people on like, oh, they just kind of, you know, there, and it's, you know, the career was just made, but you know, this obviously all the hours and hours and hours of work, of practice, of, you know, like picking yourself up when you've just failed and don't want to, you know, to get up again, these moments, and without that discipline, it's just, yeah, it just wouldn't work. So I think I feel like it's such a vital as well, like one of the vital qualities that also she installed me. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And I think sometimes we mistake discipline with somehow that entails us being sort of mean to ourselves and impatient with ourselves. And my mother taught me early on that, I mean, perhaps I discovered it later in life, but she tried to teach me early on that's actually not it. It's just about trying to reach a point where you keep bettering yourself, for the greater good, not just for yourself, but for the others that you share things with, no matter what they may be, either if it's music or it's your compassion or whatever it is. And that should only entail positive attributes and positive energy, not, yeah. I know we artists, we can be sometimes very hard on ourselves. But yeah, I think so. But I know because of, I think my mother's discipline and this kind of strict upbringing that I grew up in, it also had a lot of nurturing, a very nurturing aspect in it and very loving as well. But yes, a little bit honest. Yeah.
And lastly, I wanted to ask, you know, if there was one thing that you would have wished to have known kind of before going into the music industry, something that you maybe learned later with experience, but that you could share with younger women coming in right now into the industry, you know, what would that be?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, I'd say two things. One, that it's very much okay and necessary that you stick up for yourself, that you stand up for yourself, and don't allow your femininity to stop you from that. Because being feminine doesn't mean that you're somehow weaker. It's just a biological thing, and you can use it to be strong. And it's okay to it's okay to be yourself rather than trying to pretend because, you know, you feel like you need to manipulate in order to get something. I had to learn that over time, but thankfully I didn't have too much to do with that. I always felt that I could kind of assert myself and not be afraid to, you know, not be afraid that that would damage my career or that would, right, or damage certain doorways that I wanted to go through or burn bridges with people. Because you can assert yourself also with respecting the other person, you know, not, let's say, being a diva or, you know, having a certain air about you. You can do that with being kind. Yeah. And being professional. Then I'd say the second, keep those whom you love and whom you trust very, very, very close to you. Because it is a career where you will find yourself, depending on how much you choose to travel, right? Because it is our choice too. Depending on how much you choose to travel and navigate this world and art form, you will find yourself with yourself a lot of the time. I don't want to say by yourself or alone. I don't like these terms because it has a negative connotation. Because I kind of had to discover what it was to make myself not feel alone or by myself. And the simplest answer was always having my family close at hand. You know, thank God we have technology that helps us to communicate with the people we love in a way that feels a little bit more realistic. And so I call my mom and my father often, actually probably more often than I used to. And that has saved me. That has really, really saved me in this, you know, this way of living, this lifestyle. And the trust aspect is very important, you know. I'd say also don't ever feel, especially when you start to reach a certain age, like me, don't ever feel that you have to settle for certain people in your life. Just because you think, oh, I'm going to be alone forever. I'm never going to have children. No, 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 no. don't ever settle. Try to find people in your life, outside of your family, whom you really can trust and know that will not just support you when times are great, but really support you when the opposite occurs. That's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think that's why it's nice to have people like family or people who've been there with you from the very start, because you kind of know that they've been through with you through the hard times as well, and they've not kind of just stuck on when things were going well, you know.
Completely. Yeah, completely. Because I'm sure you have had that in your life. I have definitely, where I've had people like sort of taking advantage of me because things were great. And then when things were starting to go south, it's like, where are you? And it does happen. I mean, we are flawed as human beings. It does happen. But keeping those who really love you and really support you as close is very, very important.
Thank you so much for taking some of your time to speak with me. It was so inspiring hearing your story, your career, everything. So thank you for being so generous.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And thank you, Esther.
Envie de connaître l'actualité du jour sans être interrompu? Bonne nouvelle! Les podcasts sans publicité sont inclus dans votre abonnement Prime. Rendez-vous sur amazon.fr/actualité sans publicité pour rester connecté. En tant que membre Amazon Prime, profitez de milliers de podcasts Acast sans publicité. Certains podcasts peuvent avoir des publicités.